Thank you very much, choir, for that fine number. Do we hear the shout? Amen. That shout's coming. Ready or not? Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. 1 Kings 18. First Kings 18, I'll just read a couple, three verses. This is a long account of the contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and God answering by fire, answering his man Elijah by fire. But let's look at verse 1 Kings 18, verse 24. And ye call on, he's talking now to the prophets of Baal, in verse 24, and ye call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it was is well spoken. And then look at verses 38 and 39, after Elijah prayed now. Then the fire, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts tonight. Father, we do thank you for this good day you've given us. Thank you for the privilege of one more time assembling ourselves together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And Father, may we worship him in spirit and truth. May we be faithful in our service and our faithfulness to our church and faithfulness in our worship of him until the shout and we're caught up into his presence. And Father, we do pray for the many that are bereaved in our church. God, would you comfort them and help them, and those in the hospitals, pray for Brother Campbell as he'll have surgery tomorrow, and Mrs. Reed's mother has the eye surgery, and Donna Lane up in New York as they have this chip implantation in her spine, and I pray, God, that you would just bless and have your way and touch and heal and restore, God, all of these on our hospital list tonight. Now, Lord, bless thy word to our hearts and maybe get something out of the word of God and speak to us through thy word. Holy Spirit, touch me and help me now. Lord, I can't preach without your liberty and without your spirit, and would you grant me a portion of that sweet Holy Spirit tonight as I preach your word. For Lord, defeat the devil and get glory out of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, we see Elijah abruptly coming on the scene. And he walks right on the scene in chapter 17, verse 1, like a Texas tornado. Walks right into the palace, the court of King Ahab, and said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And he locked up heavens as tight as a hat band, stuck the key to the heavens in his pocket, and strolled right out of the palace before King Ahab knew what hit him. And then God told him to go to the brook Cherith, and there God sent the ravens in to feed him. And the brook dried up, and then God sent him up to Zarephath, where he had used a widow woman to miraculously supply his needs. And then here in chapter 18, after 3 years of drought, then Elijah strolls back in to see Mr. Ahab again. And he said, guess who come to pay you a little visit? And Ahab said, in verse 17, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Baal. Then notice again the great challenge in verse 24, where the prophet, the people were gathered, and the contest was between God, Jehovah God, and Baal, the God who could answer by fire, let him be God. And the people agreed that this was well spoken. And so the prophets of Baal, we see, gathered, made their altar, and they put their sacrifice on the altar, and they prayed, and they jumped on the altar, and they cut themselves and tried to coerce their false god in hearing their prayer and sending fire. Look, Elijah mocked them in verse 27. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Now, one of the reasons I'm against the Living Bible is what the way they translate this right here. So I want to show you in Gary's Living Bible here tonight. why I'm against the... It's okay to have them around for references. Let me say that. Somebody gave me one, and I don't know what happened to it. I think I gave it to somebody or something. But anyway, I want to read what verse 27 says here in the Living Bible. You have to shout louder than that, he scoffed, to catch the attention of your God. Perhaps he is talking to someone or is sitting on the toilet. Isn't that amazing? And by the way, I could read on, but the Living Bible is not a Bible. It's a paraphrase. And it says that so much in the front here. It says a word should be said here about paraphrases. What are they? I'm reading from the Living Bible itself now, paraphrased edition. To paraphrase is to say something in different words than the author used. So what right there is the reason we ought to be against it. He's using words in the Bible. Taylor, the fellow that gave us this, he's using words that God doesn't use. He admits it right there. So there's many reasons that you ought to just let that catch dust at home if you have one, along with all the other versions. And just bring your old King James, brother. That'll get you from earth to glory. But anyway, the prophets of Baal prayed all day, and their false god failed them in the time of need. And folks, maybe in reality, you tonight, you wouldn't worship an idol like Baal. But maybe tonight, folks, we're worshiping gods just as powerless and just as disappointing, and they're going to disappoint us just as much as Baal disappointed these prophets of Baal. Maybe tonight you're worshiping the god of pleasure. You're worshiping at the shrine of a good time. You want to just live it up. You live to live it up. That's your god. Or maybe you worship your god is a god of money, and you worship at the shrine of the dollar bill. And folks, if that's all you live for is for money and material things, one day you're going to discover they don't really satisfy. And you're going to leave it all behind anyway someday. Maybe your god is a god of sports. I didn't really intend this is not my message. I'm just giving you a little my introduction before I get to my message tonight. But maybe your god is a god of sports. Now, I love sports, and I have to watch that I keep it in proper perspective. And it's good in its proper perspective, but It becomes sin when you put sports ahead of the Lord and ahead of the house of God. And when you lay out a church to play ball or attend ball games or go fishing or hunting or golfing or things like that and neglect God's house on the Lord's day, then it becomes sin. Maybe you have your God is health or clothes or your job or friends or school or many other things. Maybe is your God. Anything become that comes between you and God is a God, is your God. And all of these false gods one day are going to fail you. Brother, when they roll you into the operating room one day for serious surgery, your false god's going to fail you. And surely they will fail you when you come down to the chilly waters of death and you have to cross over to the other side. Only the Lord God of heaven can help you in that day. No false god can help you in that hour. Well, Elijah, God's man, the prophets of Baal failed. Their God did not hear an answer by fire. Now it was God's man's turn. And so he built an altar. Elijah told them to build the altar and then dig a ditch all around that altar. He cut the wood and put it on there. Then he cut the bullock up in pieces and put it on the altar. And he had them to pour 4 barrels of water on the altar and on the sacrifice. And then Elijah prayed. I believe he got down on his knees and he prayed. And in verses 36 and 37, he just prayed a short prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. So he prayed just that short prayer. And when he did, we see then in verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice. It licked up the water all around and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood. And then in verse 39, as soon as the fire fell, the Bible says then the people fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Now I want to concentrate tonight mainly on those 6 words in verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell. The fire of the Lord fell. And let me point out 2 or 3 things about fire here tonight. And first of all, fire is a symbol of God's presence in the Word of God. How did God appear to Moses there in the desert? He appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush. He spoke to him out of a bush that was out of the midst of a bush that was on fire, but not consumed. And you know that's exactly the way hell is going to be. I believe some way in hell will be a fire that will be eternal burning, but never consumed. What an awful, awful sight. Then God's presence was with Israel when they came out of Egypt, and there was a pillar of fire around Israel, between Israel and their enemies by night, and a pillar of cloud by day. And in the New Testament, the work of the Holy Spirit is sometimes symbolized by fire. Tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost is certainly a good example of that. And then the fire of God is going to try every believer's works at the judgment seat of Christ to see what kind of works they are. So what we're doing for Jesus Christ, we need to do it for the right motive. We need to do it for His glory, because if we don't do it for His glory, they will not stand the fire test at the judgment seat of Christ. Then also the destiny of the lost is connected with fire. Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Then a second thing about fire that I've noticed is that fire is used sovereignly in God's purposes throughout the Word of God. He uses fire in His Word to reveal His will and to reveal His approval or His disapproval. An angel was standing at the gate, the entrance to the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned, standing there with a fiery, flaming sword to keep Adam and Eve out after they had sinned. Then the fire of God protected God's people as they journeyed toward the promised land. And then here in 1 Kings 18, the fire of God fell to show Israel and to show the whole world that God was God and Elijah was His man. And there are other instances we could point out in God's Word where He sovereignly revealed Himself by fire for a specific purpose of approval or disapproval or for protection of His people or for judgment. But there's another thing I want to point out about fire tonight. Fire is when God reveals Himself by fire, it is a solution to the problems of man. When God speaks, man pays attention. Now Elijah knew that Israel had gone so far from God that only a direct intervention from God would turn Israel back to God. And as soon as fire fell, the fire of God fell in verse 38. Then in verse 39, the people fell on their faces. Look at that again in verse 39. And when all the people saw it, when they saw the fire come down from God out of heaven, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. I've written here on the bottom of the page of my Bible here, when Elijah fell on his knees, when Elijah fell, the fire fell, the people fell, the false prophets fell, and then the rain fell. Brother, when God reveals Himself and when God intervenes, business picks up, doesn't it? And folks, the greatest, now here is what the Lord is, here's why I'm preaching this message tonight. Here, the Lord is, the last few days has spoken to me about this. The greatest need of the hour in our country and in our churches and in our homes and in our lives is to hear from heaven. That's our greatest need. We just must have the fire of God to fall. And many of you tonight face problems for which there seems to be no earthly solution. And if the fire doesn't fall, and if God doesn't intervene for you, the situation is hopeless. I constantly have to counsel with people with seemingly with hopeless situations. Marriages are almost shot, almost about to disintegrate unless God sovereignly moves. People have job situations where it seems like that they can't find a job. You know, God can give you a job. God can give you a job. And He's promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then maybe people come to them with neighbor problems. It seems like sometimes, brother, problems come up with neighbors that seem like only God in heaven has the answer to. Then people have great financial problems. And sometimes people come to me with about a wayward son or a wayward daughter. It just seems like there's no answer to the problem they have. Only God, an intervention from God. Maybe tonight you have a lost friend or a loved one, and you've talked to them, and they're as hard as nails, and they won't listen. They don't want to. There's no time or no place in their life for God, and you need to hear from heaven. I'm going to be speaking down at Bob Jones University at the Soul Winning Conference starting a week from in the morning. And if the fire of God doesn't help this preacher, when I stand before, there's going to be 6,000 to 6,500 people every day, Monday through Thursday, and about 700 or 800 preacher boys on Friday. And if the fire of God doesn't fall, and if God doesn't help me, then I'm wasting my time and their time down there. So I want you to pray for your preacher. Next week, every morning, I think, what is it, 10 o'clock? Is that 10 o'clock chapel each morning? Monday through Thursday next week, 11 o'clock, preacher boys. So you pray, I need God's fire. I need the touch of God when I stand before those young people. Try to get them to encourage them to win souls to Jesus Christ. You know, people sometimes have impossible situations that they won't tell anyone. And if God doesn't intervene, then the things are hopeless. Maybe you're facing a crisis. Maybe you're facing a problem tonight, and you have tried everything. You have prayed, you've talked, you've wept, and you just don't know anything else to do. You must hear from heaven. God must intervene in your situation. The fire from God must fall. And there is no hope other than God coming to your rescue. You know what? If that's where you are tonight, you know, God may have you just right where He wants you. If you say, Lord, there's no other answer. God, if you don't help me, everything is gone. And it seems like there's a brick wall in front of you. You know what? God revels in coming to the aid of our situation like that. Do you know that? There's nothing too hard for our God. He's the God of the impossible. Let me just give you the verse I preached on here a few Sundays ago. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Oh, we get in that situation sometimes, don't we? We're in darkness and no light, even though we are a child of God. You know what God says to do in a time like that? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay, lean upon his God. The psalmist said in the Psalms, and call upon me, in Psalms 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I, God says, will deliver thee. You know, God will move heaven and earth and hell to deliver his people. Somehow, God's people are going to make it when they call on God and stay on their God. I have good news for you tonight. You're going to make it with God's help if you're God's child and if you're looking to Him. God's people are going to make it. God is still on the throne and He cares for His own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Aren't you glad He's on the throne tonight? And because He's on the throne, there's hope in my situation and your situation when we face a barrier, when we face an impossible situation, because we serve a God that's able, there's hope for you tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I must hear from heaven. God must help me or all is gone. I've done all I can do. I've done all I can do. And I've just got to rest my case with heaven tonight. I must have God's help. And if that's your situation tonight, I've got news for you. God's able. God's able to help you through that situation or over that situation or around that situation or under that situation or just remove that situation. God's able. God's able. We need the fire tonight. We need God to intervene. We need God's help. And folks, He's able. God's able. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm not sure where I'm saved or not." God's able to save you if you'll come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll come and humble yourself, He's able to save you tonight. Just pray, play softly. "All to Jesus I surrender." Maybe there's people here tonight say, "Preacher, there's a situation in my life that I need God's help. I need to hear from Him. If God doesn't help me, I don't see how I'm going to ever. I don't see how I'm going to make it." Maybe a son or daughter. Maybe a job situation. Maybe such something I haven't even mentioned. If you need to talk to God about it, just slip out of where you're seated. Come down and stay on your God. Trust in the name of the Lord. If there's something you need God's help specifically about, you need God to intervene, just come down and talk to the Lord. Help specifically about something. You need God to intervene. You need help from above. You need the fire to fall. You need evidence of God's help. The turning point in your life. You turn it over to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Our God's able to deliver. He's God, He's able. This way.
away for just a moment.
This is Chad. You want to? Chad Willis. Chad, you received Christ in our neighborhood Bible time, accepted Jesus as your Savior, didn't you?